The Springboks are about to be put in a box. World Rugby is officially limiting how many matches our players can compete in each year, and the consequences for the game are going to be massive. In this episode, you will get a front row seat to what has been proposed, why it sounds great in theory, but why it's destined to cause utter chaos. But you know who can play rugby every week because he has two hearts? Two-time Rugby World Cup champion Peter Steph Du Toit. That's who. You can get your hands on a Peter Steph bobblehead figurine for free if you visit the Scoin Shop and make a purchase. South Africa's leading gold coin and bullion retailer, specializing in Krugerrands, rare coins and numismatics. Just like the Springboks, the Scoin Shop is all about world-class quality and heritage. These coins are test match quality, worthy of back-to-back world champions. So why stop at Peter Steph? Collect the whole gang and build your winning team. The Scoin Shop has stores nationwide. So World Rugby's executive board last week announced new player load guidelines to cover the elite men's and women's game around the world. These were recommended to the sport's global governing body by a project group of leading experts representing players, unions, regions, and competitions around the globe. Among the group are a few South Africans like Professor Ross Tucker, Johan van Graan, and John Dobson. They were also involved. So right off the bat, that makes it difficult to find fault. The guidelines are supported by scientific evidence or, in the absence of existing studies, expert opinion. And these guidelines will act as a backstop where no local agreement around player load currently exists. So let's look at those guidelines now. These are the main points. A player should play no more than 30 games in a single season or 6 consecutive match weeks. Players should have a dedicated 5-week off season. They should be entitled to minimum rest periods of at least 1 week if they're selected for international fixtures. They should have 12 weeks of non-contact time across the year. And this should be communicated thoroughly between clubs and national federations. Now look, I don't disagree with any of this. Rugby is not like other sports when you think of how many games a player can play in a year. Look at Major League Baseball. Teams play 162 games per season, and that's before the playoffs. In the NBA, teams play 84 games before the postseason begins. A football team like Real Madrid could play between 50 and 60 games in a season. But in those sports, you play 2-3 times a week. In baseball, even more. Rugby is not designed that way. In the modern professional setup, you really can only play one game per week. In the amateur era, it was possible to play twice per week. But those days are long gone. Former Springbok captain Corne Kriger once told me that his body would take a bashing on a Saturday, and by the next Saturday, it still wasn't entirely healed and ready to go. And that was 20 years ago. So that gives you an idea. We also know World Rugby are currently obsessed with player welfare, particularly the matter around concussion. I genuinely believe they fear an NFL-style lawsuit by former players suffering from diseases like dementia or CTE, which, by the way, is something that can only be diagnosed after death. Now, while it sounds good in theory, there is also the practical element, and this is where we run into trouble. Bulls coach Johan Akerman has raised some concerns. This is what he said. There are only 52 weeks in a year. If you already take 30 weeks of matches and add 5 weeks of compulsory break, there's not much time left for preparation and conditioning. If we have 15 tests in 1 year, that leaves just 15 matches for us in the URC, pre-season and in European competitions. If they can limit test rugby to maybe 10 or 11 matches, it gives us a bit of leeway to work with the players in all the competitions. The player who doesn't feature in the URC every week might not reach 30 games, but he's still training hard every day. That's a mental challenge. Proper breaks are needed for those guys too. Akerman is quite right. Now, I can't see Dr. Rassie Erasmus agreeing to limit the number of tests the Springboks play each year to 10 or 11. But it is worth noting that with the current levels of rotation, no Springbok will actually play 15 tests in a year. However, think of a bomb squad player. He might only come on for 10 or 20 minutes, but that would count towards an appearance. Or will they be willing to make exceptions in cases like that? They haven't made that clear. A South African URC team will play 18 regular season matches, add in 4 Champions Cup matches, and you're already at 22, not counting Springbok tests, not counting Curry Cup appearances. Now, yes, the Boks don't really play Curry Cup anymore. But what if someone is injured long-term and the coaches use the Curry Cup to help get that player back to match fitness? And if you think we have problems, consider the French League. Their regular season consists of 26 league games. Then add Champions Cup and national team duty and various playoffs. How will they limit Antoine Dupont, Damien Penaud, Thomas Ramos and Grégory Aldrit to just 30 matches each year? If you ask me, this sounds like another one of World Rugby's good ideas where their heart is in the right place. But in practice, it is likely to cause chaos. And mark my words, there are going to be unintended consequences. The real solution is to firstly create a truly global calendar. For this, they can just look to what FIFA does. Yeah, football's world governing body is not exactly the poster boy for clean governance. But one thing they have done well is their global calendar. All club football stops a few times a year, and that's when international matches take place. Now, you could say that in rugby, that's already kind of happening. So during the Rugby Championship, our players who play in the URC, France, Japan, they were not eligible for their clubs during the competition. They were instead playing for us. But now you need to apply that globally and universally. Because then, and only then, do you get a clear off-season for everybody. And yes, you don't have to follow that calendar. For example, Major League Soccer is played throughout the global off-season. So you could almost say that if we follow the Northern Hemisphere calendar, New Zealand and Australia are the ones who are out of sync. And okay, fine. Hopefully they'll see the light and come to the party. But these days, there is very little friction between club and country. That's in football. The exception is the Africa Cup of Nations and the Asian Cup. Both are played in the middle of the European football season. So Liverpool don't like it when they lose Mohamed Salah to go and play for Egypt every 2 years. And other clubs will have players who play in the Asian Cup. Think of Son Heung-min, the former Tottenham Hotspur captain. Great player. If you like football, you'll know a little bit about him. But you could say that those clubs largely accept it. But in rugby, French clubs are very powerful. That's why you see France touring the Southern Hemisphere in July without their best players. But now we need true cooperation. South Africa is almost there. The reality is that if the Rugby Championship was moved to the same time as the Six Nations, and there's actually talk of that happening, then our problem would be solved. So it is actually the Rugby Championship, as it turns out, that is messing with South Africa's ability to afford its players rest. And the reality is that we are going to have to align with the Northern Hemisphere's calendar. Because, why? They are the ones with the money. And you may have heard the saying, whoever has the gold makes the rules. Just like in football, the global calendar also goes according to the European season. Because those are the clubs with the big money. That's why South Africa's premiership, football that is played during our summer months, even though it's a winter sport. Now you know. But how do you see it? Do you think this is a great initiative by World Rugby and the teams must just get on board and implement? Or do you think that this is just going to cause more chaos? Let me know in the comment section down below, and I'll see you next time.